Lighthouses are a funny thing. They're picturesque, almost childlike. We visit them on vacation, take pictures in front of them while wearing polo shirts and fanny packs. But there's also darkness inherent in the purpose of a lighthouse. Something so mundane and simple, keeping a lantern burning, has these enormous consequences. If a light goes out, whether by a gust of wind or a moment of forgetfulness or a brief distraction, entire ships crash. People are thrown into the sea. They drown. There's a famous saying about war, that it's long periods of boredom punctuated by moments of sheer terror. You might say the same thing about lighthouse keeping. On some nights, more than 200 ships sailed through the Long Island Sound, each one relying on a light burning in the distance. That is a lot of responsibility for a 12-year-old girl. I'm Johanna Mayer, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. Today, we visit the Fairweather Island Light, and we meet Kate Moore, a girl who poured her heart and soul into caring for this forlorn lighthouse for more than 70 years, who defied every idea of what a lighthouse keeper should be. Kate's unlikely story, after this. Grizzled face, tangled hair, yellow rain slicker, tall rubber boots, lonely old man. Ask anyone to describe a typical lightkeeper, and that's probably what you'll hear. So how does a 12-year-old girl end up in charge of a lighthouse? And for nearly a century, no less. It started, as many things do, with an accident. In 1817, Kate Moore's father, Stephen, had a problem. He needed to get a load of hay inside before it started to rain. He climbed to the top of the hay pile, working fast, but in an instant, the oxen bolted. And Stephen toppled. He broke his arm and his jaw, and he could no longer work his job as a merchant. But his old boss pulled some strings, and he got Stephen a job as a lighthouse keeper. So Stephen and his wife packed up 5-year-old Kate and her siblings, and they moved to Fairweather Island off the coast of Connecticut. A rocky, mile-long jetty connects Fairweather Island to the mainland. You can see these little quaint Connecticut houses across the way, but it feels like a whole other world. When Kate arrived with her family, they found a sandy, 7-acre piece of land populated by shaggy, wind-beaten trees. And at the very edge of the island sat the lighthouse, a 40-foot-tall octagonal wooden tower. Despite the harsh surroundings, the family adjusted pretty well to their new island home. They even managed to grow a little garden. And Kate took to the lighthouse right away. It had 8 lamps, which burned through 4 gallons of oil every night and needed to be replenished at regular intervals. Little Kate tagged along with her father, helping him trim the wicks on the lanterns. Then, in 1821, when Kate was 9 years old, a hurricane ripped through the Sound. The family home survived, but the wooden lighthouse was flattened. For Kate, this is a first lesson in how quickly things could change on their island home. When they rebuilt, the new lighthouse was not idyllic or romantic. It was squat and made of heavy white stone. One local publication rather rudely wrote, quote, "A more contemptible lighthouse does not disgrace Long Island Sound, most shamefully erected and badly kept." Still, Kate loved it. The new building was completed when she was 12, and by that time, climbing the lighthouse's narrow staircase while balancing buckets of sloshing oil had become too much for her dad. So Kate went from trimming wicks here and there to tending the lighthouse full time. On windy nights, the lanterns blew out over and over again, and Kate would have to stay in the lighthouse until morning. She later told a reporter, "On other nights, I slept at home, dressed in a suit of boys' clothes, my lighted lantern hanging at my headboard, and my face turned so that I could see, shining on the wall, the light from the tower, and know if anything happened to it." In the 19th century, lighthouse keepers often lived with their families, and there were many cases of women sharing or even taking over their husband's duties as keeper. Lighthouse keeping was a government job, and one of the first non-secretarial jobs available to women in the 19th century. And the work itself was definitely not secretarial. While other women in their 20s and 30s learned the piano and attended debutante balls, Kate Moore dealt with bodies. People would wash up on the shore of the island, half dead, and it was Kate's job to revive them. They'd stay with Kate and her family until they could work up the strength to leave. The Moores would feed them, give them a warm place to sleep, all on their own dime, too. Other times, people weren't so lucky. Over the years, hundreds of corpses caught in the debris of shipwrecks landed on Kate's shores. She had to store the bodies until the government came to pick them up. Kate passed her youth this way. Instead of courting or having kids, she moved into middle age on the island with little more company than the people who washed onto her doorstep. Years later, a reporter would ask Kate about those years filled with bodies. The reporter wrote, "A look as though she saw the ghastly faces came into Miss Moore's eyes." She shuddered. Other times, life tending the lighthouse was kind of quiet. To keep herself company, Kate got pets, two dogs and a lamb. She read voraciously, collected books. She kept a garden and tended nearby oyster beds. To pass the long nights in the lighthouse, she'd carve decoy ducks out of blocks of wood. She sold them to local sportsmen and to people who visited the island, and she got tons of orders, often two or three barrels of ducks at a time. She earned extra money from the ducks, but I think she might have just enjoyed having their company up in the lighthouse. Still, after all those years and all those bodies, all those nights alone, the thought of leaving the lighthouse never occurred to Kate. A reporter once asked, "Didn't you find the life a hard one?" Kate replied, "No, I don't think I did. You see, I'd done all of this for so many years, and I knew no other life." In 1871, Kate was officially appointed lighthouse keeper. She was 59 years old and had been tending the lighthouse basically all her life. Even though her father hadn't carried a bucket of oil up the lighthouse stairs in many decades, his name remained on the official registry. And on all of Kate's paychecks, I might add. But now, Kate was officially the second ever woman lighthouse keeper in the United States. In 1878, a reporter for the New York Sun traveled to Fairweather Island to visit Kate. The reporter picked their way across the sand, passing wiry grasses and clusters of stunted bushes, and eventually found a low-slung, weather-beaten house, Kate's house. The reporter knocked on the door and was greeted by a cacophony of noises from the dogs and the pet lamb. Kate, who by now was in her mid-60s, swung open the door, and the reporter wrote, "Miss Moore is of spare but active figure, and a face weather-beaten as the house in which she lived, seamed with many wrinkles and deep-cut lines. But her eyes are keen and bright. Her dress was in keeping with her surroundings. Rough, but serviceable. Her most remarkable feature is her hair, that, just tinged with gray, hangs in disheveled locks about her face. The reporter looked around the house, filled with the pieces of Kate's decades of tending the lighthouse. Shelves crammed full of books on travel and history and theology, some Byron and Shakespeare sprinkled in there. An oil painting depicting the meeting of Jacob and Esau. Official Coast Guard posters filled with hundreds of rules and regulations for keeping the lighthouse, which Kate had dutifully memorized. Piles of the decoy ducks she'd carved those long nights when she had to stay awake. In her later years, a number of reporters like these showed up on Kate's doorstep. While Kate had been living her solitary life, she'd also become something of a local institution, a near mythical figure who lived just across the harbor. When visitors arrived in town on the mainland, locals recommended that they spend an afternoon making a pilgrimage out to Fairweather Island to visit the legendary lighthouse keeper. But Kate was totally unfazed by the attention. During one newspaper interview, at 6 p.m. on the dot, she excused herself. She pulled on a peacoat, stuffed her hair into a hood. It was time for her to go tend the lighthouse. The reporter watched as Kate walked up the stairs with, quote, the agility of a girl. Kate Moore tended the Fairweather Lighthouse for more than 70 years, till she was 85 years old. By the end of her tenure, she'd saved at least 21 lives. No one knows exactly why she quit. Maybe in her old age, she wanted more company than decoy ducks. Maybe her bones started to ache as she walked up the lighthouse stairs. We can't have the agility of a girl forever. Maybe she wanted more of the quiet stretches of life and less of the sheer terror that punctuated it. Whatever the reason, Kate left the lighthouse. She moved out of her little house on the island and into a small cottage on the mainland with the view of her old lighthouse home. Sometimes she still walked along the shore with an old knotted staff. But when a reporter asked if she ever missed her island home, Kate replied, never. The sea is a treacherous friend. It's a mystery exactly how old Kate was when she died. Some records say 85, some say 93, one even says 105. But we do know that she was buried in an unmarked grave. A solitary life and a solitary death. As for the lighthouse, it passed through the hands of several keepers after Kate, till the early 1930s, when it was discontinued and replaced by two automatic offshore lights. And for a period of time, the lighthouse fell into disrepair. Vandals gutted the interior, people covered the white stone in graffiti. Automatic lights couldn't care for it the way Kate could. The words of those newspaper reporters from years ago came ringing back. A more contemptible lighthouse does not disgrace Long Island Sound, most shamefully erected and badly kept. But in the end, that stout little contemptible lighthouse had the last laugh. It survived countless storms. It stood tall through the vandals and the graffiti. And in 1998, it was restored. Today, it looks better than ever. The Fairweather Island Light just may outlast us all. Today, you can still visit the Fairweather Island Lighthouse and see the place where Kate Moore lived and worked for so many years. And another thing that you can visit today is Kate's grave. The Coast Guard added a marker in 2014 to honor her years of service. Special thanks to Anna Crowley for background information on Kate Moore. Anna is the author of the children's book, Courage Like Kate, The True Story of a Girl Lighthouse Keeper. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Dylan Thuris,
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was sound designed and mixed by
Luce Fleming.
And our theme and end credits are by Sam Tyndall. I'm Johanna Mayer, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I'll see you next time.